Good afternoon, everyone. Wonderful to be here. If you blink, it's going to be here before you know it. It's hard to take in that we're only 5 weeks away from the, as we are looking at the autumn festivals that are coming up. A lot has been on my mind as I'm looking at that and just thinking about what God has in store for us. And it's a pretty amazing inheritance. When Christ returns and there's the marriage supper of the Lamb, one of the beautiful things in Scripture, the final culmination or that next step for us, those who are baptized, those who have His Spirit in them, move from being, you know, we're already striving to in this life to no longer be slaves to sin, but we're actually moving to be slaves to righteousness. And as we do that, as we utilize His Spirit, the opportunity to become heirs and to actually transform into His children. So I wanted to take the time in this sermonette today to look at that. If you think of the terminology that we use in our vernacular, our language, we talk about inheritance. What is some? Generally, if you're thinking about inheritance, somebody has passed. There's an estate that is left. There's a house. There's property. Perhaps there's financial gifts that are going on. But something valuable is passed from one individual to another. Oftentimes it's within a family. You must have an heir, which is part of the word, how it's put together. Just an heir, inheritance, someone to inherit. Otherwise, it's just an estate. And perhaps the government might come in, the state might come in and handle the estate. But in order to have an inheritance, there must be an heir. Now, the interesting thing about being an heir, if you ever forced yourself into a family, it's not generally something that we do. In fact, we have phrases and language where we say, well, you can't actually pick your family. You're kind of like stuck with your family, and that's who your family is. But within the family is also where the inheritance comes from. Now, one of the nice things about an inheritance is it isn't generally based upon it's not generally based upon you or I as an individual, right? You know, like, well, if I work hard enough, then I'm going to be an heir in this family. Now, you can get disinherited. That's a whole other topic by itself with how we behave, right? But generally speaking, just because you're in the family, that's how you have access to the inheritance that is there. It's because of the relationship that we have with the one who is giving that we have the opportunity for the inheritance. And God, as the one who is giving, has opened this opportunity, has opened the inroad for us to be able to have an inheritance and to become His heirs. So, what must we do in order to become His heir? What must He do in order to become His heir? Let's start off by turning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. This came to mind as I was, this past Sunday, I was down at Mrs. Howie, Cleo Howie's memorial with the family. And I was having a conversation before the memorial service began. And when we're talking about inheritance, we're talking about becoming children, we're talking about being a part of a family. And it's kind of strange because this is foreign to us as Americans in Western society, but when we are talking about inheritance, you're talking about becoming an heir. In Roman society, ancient Rome, inheritance, becoming an heir, was actually much more open than it is now, if you will, in our society. Because here we look at lineage. Well, who is your father or who is your mother? Is there some sort of a blood relation that you would be an heir, a part of the family of this person? But adoption and that opportunity to become an heir, you might recall the exchange that Abram has with God when he says, I'm going to give you an heir. He's like, what do you mean an heir? I don't even have a child. I'm old. The one who is an heir in my home is actually Eleazar of Damascus. Wasn't even related. But that was not a foreign concept. Within the Roman Empire at the time of Jesus Christ, an individual could say, you know what, I'm going to adopt this person, and they would become a part of the family. And so when we're talking about adoption, we're talking about becoming an heir, especially in New Testament times. That's more of a mindset. Here you're like, well, how are you going to weasel your way into that family? And are you going to marry for money? Or how are you going to become an heir of that? It's a little bit of a different concept. But here in Romans chapter 8, we'll pick it up in verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." We see here what it takes to become an heir. It says, if you have the Spirit, then we are his children. If we are his children, then we are heirs. And we're heirs right alongside our elder brother, Jesus Christ, who will be coming back to marry the church, to be wed, to be able to have that inheritance. We have to be led by God's Spirit. And this is one of those things that we need to understand. At baptism, one confesses their sins, accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, their Lord and Master. They say, that's the old me. And then we go through the action of a full immersion baptism, symbolizing the grave, come up out as a new creation. And in that new creation, what we ask the Father to do is to give a part of himself, to give his Spirit, to guide, to direct, to lead. Now, it's one thing to have the Spirit. It's another thing to actually listen to it and be led by it. And what Scripture tells us here is that if we have the Spirit and we're led by the Spirit, we are sons of God, children of God, and thus heirs. It's a beautiful thing. We don't simply just receive an inheritance from God because he's like, oh, I like you today. Here you go. What he says is he said, I'm creating a family. And in order to create the family, this is what I'm doing. We go through this process. I give you my Spirit. You get led by my Spirit. I'm watching you over the course of your life to be led by the Spirit. And then he gives the inheritance. So to be an heir means we have to be led by his Spirit. And that should be reflected in our decisions, in our reactions to other people, what we prioritize in life, our character, and how that is manifesting, again, in our interactions with other people, and the direction that we choose to go in life. Those should all be affected by that. Another aspect of this is that God has an expectation. If we're going to become heirs, we not only need to be led by his Spirit, we also have to be formed into the character of our Father. Formed into the character of God the Father. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 is where we will start. Might be a familiar passage of Scripture for you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. A little bit later is actually where a lot of people start memorizing it. But it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Remember being led by the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we're wanting to be able to change our character, change what we do, how we are functioning, then we must walk in the Spirit. Jump down to verse 22 with me, if you would. Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit in which we are walking, or the Spirit in which we are walking, the fruit of that Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the passions, with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, led by the Spirit. Romans brings that up. Paul brings that up in Romans. He reiterates it here in Galatians. It's not just being led by the Spirit. Now he gives us more parameters. He fleshes out the concept. This is what it should look like to be led by the Spirit. If it's affecting our character, if we're growing in it, then we're going to be manifesting that in these fashions, in these ways, having the different fruit of his Spirit, developing character is what God is trying to do with his children to be able to have inheritance. Because one of the things that we probably do understand about inheritance quite adeptly, square and straight foundation with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, and then we build on it with straw or sticks or mud or sand or whatever we're building on it. It's like, this is what I made for you, God. He's like, well, this is the character. Have I developed it? Have you and I put that together? It's not just that God is trying to determine when he's talking about passing out his inheritance. He's saying, who has developed into the child who is going to inherit something? Those who have not developed into his children won't receive an inheritance. We must be living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And then the beautiful thing is that his children, who have been developing his character, we will become heirs. Let's go back just a chapter here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to be might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This passage encapsulates the full transition that God is making Eliezer of Damascus in Abram's household. And he not only is a slave in the house or a servant in the house, but he then transitions to being adopted, a child, and a full heir. There was no distinction in the Roman Empire, in their society, between an adopted child and an actual blood child. If someone said, I'm adopting them, they were a full heir right alongside those others who might be a blood individual, a blood heir. So we see the whole point here is to move towards that potential for adoption, because we know that when we started off, we weren't. And Paul says this, you know, that's not who we were beforehand. We were of our father to the devil, and we have the opportunity to be saved, to become a son, to become an heir, because ultimately what God is wanting is he wants those who have his character, those who are thinking like him, those who are behaving like him, those who are producing his character to be his children in his family. As we consider our Christianity, it should be pretty obvious what the possibility of inheritance is. God says it. He says it's eternal life to become one of his children right alongside Jesus Christ, who has already attained that. That's nice. But the question for us might be better to ask if we are allowing God to produce in us the character of being an heir. We know what that end goal is. We know that he says that at baptism, when he gives his Spirit to lead us, that we can become that heir. The question for us is whether or not we're allowing that process to happen. We know what we're going to inherit. We know the power and the opportunity he's given us. Let's make sure that we allow that transformation to happen as we grow from slaves to sin all the way to heirs of eternal life.